Good evening to everybody. This is a shiur of the 4th of August, Tuesday, Yud Dalet Menachem Av, a pre-recorded shiur on Siman Tov Kuf Beis, Sif Aleph, Part 2. We discussed yesterday the main concept of making fire on Yom Tov, and we learned that making your fire is also, however, extending it, developing it further, moving it on, that's permitted. A little bit more on this tonight. Sif Aleph, top of the page, Kuf Tezayin. We want to keep the fire going. We want to keep that fire strong. So use bellows to blow with the bellows. You're not allowed to do that. With a tube, you're allowed to. So with a tube, it's fine. With bellows, is also because that is considered mishtabur sensitive cotton. And that's what professionals do. Expert, they use these fancy items, and that's no good. But if you use a poshta, that seems to be a more simple way of keeping the fire going, by using a tube, that's more simple, more basic, and that you're allowed to. But if you're using a mapuach, that's more special, more designated, more an expert item, therefore that would be forbidden. Continues the Shulchan Aruch, within those bellows, also two types. There's the more expert style that you certainly can't, but there is within that some simple ones. Those you're allowed to use, mapuach shel balabatim, al deshinu, if using a different way of using those simple bellows, that's fine as well. Lahapche milemala milemata, the shinu, in the unusual way of using it would be to use the up. To use it upside down, and that would be permitted as well. That's a weird way of blowing it, a weird way, and that's why it's permitted, an unusual way. You're allowed to also cover it up with some with an item, putting some sort of item onto the fire, if you want to decrease the fire a little bit, or you want to focus the fire. You're allowed to do that as long as you're not extinguishing the fire altogether. So you'd be allowed to play around with the fire a little bit, and in order to keep it going, as long as you're extinguishing it, which of course would defeat the purpose, which is awesome. That's only for the purpose of Yom Tov. But if you're doing all these preparations for the sake of the next day of Yom Tov Sheni, that's also that we shall be discussing with Halachos of Achona. That's the next a future Shir Be'ezra Hashem. So, continue the Shulchan Aruch, Oisim Adur B'Yom Tov. Now, a new topic altogether. Continue the Shulchan Aruch, that when you're making that fire on Yom Tov, when you're setting up the woods, you can't make a pyramid, one on top of the other, one to make a whole nice pile of woods, one on top of the other, because that appears that you're making a building, a construction. If you're putting one layer of wood and another layer of wood, one on top of the other, like a nice construction, that's also. Elo, only. If you're making it in an odd manner, or not consistent. If it's a bit like haphazard, and it doesn't look organized, then it's fine. Similarly, if you're doing it with a shino in an abnormal manner, then it's fine as well. The point is that you're not allowed to make a boini, you're allowed to make a structure. But if it looks like a bizarre styled structure, that would be fine. Ketzad, how do you do that? You put the wood on top. When you put one underneath it, until you've got the right, you reach the floor. Meaning you're building it instead of from the bottom up, which is the conventional way of doing it. You're actually doing it from top down. You're always adding something lower down, which is a more burdensome way of doing it, a more difficult way of doing it, and a bizarre way of doing it. And that's why it's permitted. Kate. Similarly, also with the pot, you hold the pot, and you put the stones underneath it. The conventional way of putting the pot is that you've got the woods, and then you've got the stones, and then you put the pot on top. I suppose that's a regular way of doing it, but that you're not allowed to do it because that's again nire kaboine. So what you're doing is that you put the pot first, and then you place these stones underneath it, which is a bizarre way of doing things, and certainly more a hard way of doing things, and that's why it's permitted, because it's a shinui. But you can't just put it straight on top of the stones. Yeah. And similarly, when it comes to anything else, you've got to just do it from top down as opposed to bottom up. With the beams also, you hold it first on the top, you put the items underneath it. So first you spread it out, and then you put the legs underneath it. If you've got eggs, if you're panning up eggs, you don't put them one on top of the other until you've got a pyramid piling up all the eggs. No, you don't have to do that. You should make it a shinu, a different way. You first start from the top, and then you add eggs down. So from top down. And similarly, kol kiyotze, but anything similar to that, tzorich shinui requires a change in a shinui. Says the Rama v'chin shulchan with a table too. Sheish to defanois, which has got sides, walls, amigios la'oritz, which reach the floor. You've got a kind of table which has got side walls reaching the floor. Tzorich shinui, you need a shinui when you're putting it up. But you can, with a regular folding table, you can just put the chairs up. That wouldn't be considered a binyan. Some say no. When it reaches the ground, when it doesn't reach all the way down, then it's permitted anyway. So Rabbi said, the Shulchan Aruch goes a little bit off topic, as it were. We started off talking about the fire, and we learned that when you're blowing the fire, keeping the oxygen in the fire, you've got to do it you want to use these fans, these bellows, you've got to do it with a tube and not the regular way. The simple ones, you're allowed to use with a shinui, and just put it upside down. Now, once we've spoken about the shinui, we also carried on talking about the way you actually put the fire and you set it up. And we learned that when you're putting it up, don't put the pot after having placed the woods in an orderly fashion. Rather, what you've got to do is you put it first. You put it up, and then you've got a pot, and then you put the stones underneath it. Same also when you're putting the woods, you start from the top and you add the woods lower down, further down. Hope that makes sense. And anything else, when you've got tables, when you've got beds, or anything else you're putting up, you start from the top and you go down, because that's considered a shinui, and that's why these are permitted, because otherwise it would appear like you're doing boner. It appears as if you are actually building something on Yom Tov, which is awesome. The Shulchan Aruch and Tziv Beis goes back to the main topic of this simon. What was the simon about? The simon was about Dino H. B. Yom Tov making a fire on Yom Tov. And we learned you're not allowed to make a new fire. What about if you've got woods, and which are burning already, but some woods are not burning already? Would I be able to pull away woods from that pile of woods? Can I take the woods which haven't caught fire? Can I take them away? Sif Beis, Agudashal Eitzim, if you've got a pile of woods, Shulukam Madura, which the fire is lit already, there's a fire there already. Kol Eitz, any wood, Shaloi Ochso Boyo Eitz, which hasn't caught fire yet. Muta Leshomtoi, you'll have to just put it away. The woods which have not caught fire, you may just grab them away. It is not similar by taking away oil from a lantern. Why can't you do that? Why can you not take oil from a lantern? Why? The answer is because of kibui, extinguishing. We learned that you're allowed to make a fire, but to extinguish is certainly also. I think we mentioned yesterday that to extinguish a fire is always also, because that's no echel nefesh in it. Kibui is also malocha. Extinguishing is a malocha, and there's no echel nefesh in it. There's no heter to do it for. There's no purpose in it. No physical purpose in it. You don't need it to extinguish. You're not extinguishing for a physical purpose. That's why kibui, extinguishing, is forbidden. We learned about even when you're allowed to increase the gas on Yom Tov, certainly not allowed to decrease it after cooking. You're allowed to decrease it, because that would be kibui, which is awesome. So therefore, taking oil from a candle is kibui. You're considered as if you're extinguishing the fire on Yom Tov, and that's also. Therefore, that explains to us what the thought was why taking woods would be also. You're allowed to take woods away, or is that considered extinguishing? There's a fire there already. Can I take the woods away? You're allowed to take the oil away. Kibui. So you're allowed to take the woods away? The answer is yes, you can, because that's considered a different. It's different. It's not connected at all. When it comes to the oil, it's one connected fire. It's one connected item. It's one connected fuel. However, when it comes to the woods, the many pieces of woods are not considered connected. Therefore, you'll have to take the woods away, despite the fact that there is a fire there already, but the other parts of woods, which haven't caught fire yet, are not connected, and you can just pull them away. This is Siv Beis, and Siv Gimel, and Dalet will leave for tomorrow, Beis Hashem. We find a very interesting matter, Shmuel, that it says with regard to Shmuel when he was Shmuel was serving his teacher, his Rebbe, Eli HaKohen, and we find a very interesting expression say for Shmuel Aleph. It says Vanar Shmuel Meshores is Hashem, and the youth Shmuel was serving Hashem lifnei Eli, before Eli. And that's a very interesting kind of expression. What does it mean? Vanar Shmuel, the youth Shmuel was serving Hashem before Eli HaKohen. Surely the point was that he was serving Hashem, or perhaps the point was that he was supporting Eli. What does that mean? The expression sounds a little bit bizarre and off point. And here comes the Medrash. Shmuel tells us a fascinating point. Was he really standing before the Shechina? He wasn't standing before the Shechina. He wasn't standing before Hashem. What does it mean, Meshores? He was serving Hashem. What does that mean? Hello, but it's teaching us. Whenever he was standing before Eli HaKohen, if he was standing before Hashem, by serving Eli HaKohen, who was a Torah giant, by supporting and helping and guiding and learning from Eli HaKohen, who was the ultimate Torah Gadol of the generation, it was as if he was standing before Hashem. This, of course, teaches us a lesson or two, how to respect and how to treat the Gedolei Yisrael, and what we can grow from being close to them. Good evening to all.